This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Are you willing to take the journey of discovery to check out some anointings that you may not have been aware of that you are carrying right now? But for some reason, maybe inferiority, maybe that fear that came out of it, for some reason you won't tap in that. You got some stuff on the inside of you that's being distracted by the thing that you think that you can only do. There's some other stuff.
Hopefully you're going to choose to let heaven determine your thinking, because whatever choice you make, then that's going to be your mentality for today.
Can you say that he's a waymaker? Yes. Can you say that he's a God that sits high and looks low? Yes.
Get the message of grace any way you want. Stream service live, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, with re-airs at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Ooh, it's time we live a new life. Let us love shine right in you. We're saved by his grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into this. Let's give a definition for respect. Here's what I believe it is. It's the condition of being esteemed, valued, and honored, to show regard, to show consideration for, all right? Being esteemed, being valued, being honored, show regard, show consideration for, versus flattering. When flattery is like, you know, to try to please by complimentary remarks or attention given that's insincere. You know, it's not sincere. Your flattery is there. We want your respect, not your flattery. Okay? So in our modern world, respect is sometimes confused with fear. And I'm speaking now mainly so you can go with me. I'm mainly talking about gangs. Gangs fight and they kill for respect. But what they get is fear. They fight and they kill for respect, but they get fear. Domestic abusers may also beat their partner. Don't ever get so angry that you can put your hands on your wife. If you got to run out the house, if you got to go take a break, do what you got to do. But don't put your hands on your wife. Don't take the frustration or the fear of being disrespected at job or anybody else and bring that home and you put your hands on your wife. I just think that's like, I want you to see it as taboo. Real men don't beat their wives. They don't. They don't do it. Yeah, but you don't understand what she did. It doesn't matter. Well, she hit me first. Are you kidding me? Real men don't do that. They don't do that. There is no excuse to ever justify you putting your hands on your wife. They had a strong issue in some of the African countries. I'm speaking, I think, in Nigeria specifically, and these people were in ministry, all right? And he beat his wife to death. It's something about the culture. Now, one day you're gonna have to make a decision, culture versus word. And you're gonna have to decide, I wanna do it the word way, even if it violates the traditional culture. All right? Because the word will change your culture and your tradition if you let it. But I mean, what is that? The fact I spoke to some friends of mine in South Africa, it's the same deal there. It's like, you know, this little weird thing where you're raping women even down to 10 years old, You're raping women. That is absolutely a inferiority complex. That it's traumatic. You understand what's going on here? It got so crazy that we closed our office for that day. They finally decided to have a march and to do some things, and we prayed over them because South Africa is near and dear to our hearts. And I'm sitting here thinking like, we need to have a men's meeting there. We need to challenge these men. We did it in Nigeria, Tapping Down, when we were talking about equality, and the church went nuts. And the women were so angry, they got up in tears and began to finally come out and say stuff because I guess they felt comfortable with us being there. I don't know if they got beat for saying that when they got home, but manhood and the Word of God is not limited by different boundaries. If we believe in this Word should cross boundaries, it should cross cultures, it should cross those different traditions. But that's where the debate is, that's where the argument is. So we've got to prove that being men of God, according to the Word of God, has great benefits to it. It can start with just a few of us here right now and move up to that number, what I'm talking about. But you, how do you justify your manhood? And thankfully, justice was served. You can't beat your wife to death. It's like, oh, well, Pastor, everybody knows that. You don't need to spend any time on that. I'm spending time on it just in case the thought ever comes to your mind. If the thought ever comes to your mind, then I need to walk out the door. You don't slap your wife. And then in front of your children, do you know what happens to a son who sees his daddy hit his mother? I know what it did to me. When I saw, and I don't think he necessarily hit her, but when I saw the struggle that was going on between my parents, it did something to me. It did something to me where I had to deal with that. And then later on in my teenage years, I held a gun against him. Because what I saw, held a gun against him, like, you would never put your hands on my mama again. And that could have turned out to be tragic. Don't do that. It's a serious thing. Stuff's going on in the world today, but it should never get so bad that you put your hands on your wife. Now, I know you think it's not a deal, but there are some people who are sitting here right now. I know it because I've counseled people in my church that put their hands on their wives. And the wife walks around in a torment and fear of telling anybody, try not to mess up your reputation. Boy, if I wasn't under the covenant of tempers, I'd slap your jaw off myself. And it's amazing. If I send Evander over there or Oscar over there, you will all of a sudden find restraint. Somebody that can whoop your butt, you'll find restraint. Then what is that about you wanting to take advantage of somebody that's weak? Inferiority. Inferiority. You see how big this thing is? I'm trying to preach on one subject, but it keeps coming back to the root. And that's got to be something that we deal with. Ooh, I got passionate about that. And some of y'all sitting up there like, you did what? That's what I'm telling you. Real ministry is taking what I have gone through and putting it with the Word and then ministering it to you, not for you to become self-righteous. Well, at least I never did that. Well, Negro, you done did something I ain't never did before. But what I'm trying to demonstrate is showing you the power of God's Word and the power of God's Spirit, that if He can change me and rescue me, then He can change you and rescue you. It doesn't matter what the situation is, but the same God that came and rescued me can come and rescue you too, that you're not doomed. You can make it out. Amen. Domestic abusers may also beat their partner and demand respect. I'm going to beat you until you respect me. It's kind of like what I was saying last night, inferiority is the thing that destroys equality amongst partners in marriage. And what are you going to do? beat her if she decides not to do what you're trying to make her to do. You're trying to dominate her because you no longer have dominion. and that didn't work. You know, I'm going to demand respect. Respect doesn't come by demanding it. It comes by respecting. And again, they get fear, not respect. While you demand respect, you put your hands on that woman, you get fear. Because you got a shotgun in the house that she knows how to use. See, I'm restrained. Ain't no way in the world I'm gonna put my hands on my wife. We've been in too many shooting ranges for me to know better than that. We went to a shooting range one time and my wife was shooting, and you know, the target, and her first shot, bam, right on the head. The second shot, bam, right through the heart. The third shot, bam, right through the private. And she looked at me, wait, she looked at me and she said, remember. I was like, you don't demand respect, gentlemen. When you demand respect, you get fear, not respect. Many feel preoccupied with getting respect out of a fear of being rejected and being a nobody, inferiority. That's what it is. I'm preoccupied with getting respect out of a fear of being rejected, out of a fear of being a nobody. Inferiority complex. And so respect, like many things, begins with self. And both of us can truly respect others. And in order for us to truly respect others, we got to first of all respect ourselves. If I'm going to really learn how to respect other people, that journey starts with this, respecting myself. Say this out loud. Today I decide to respect myself. If we feel we are worthless, if we feel like we're dumb, if we feel like we're bad lovers, bad and feeling bad and inferior to this or to that, then we'll treat ourselves badly. I see a lot of men, I mean, you know, they don't treat themselves right. They just devalue themselves. And we'll beat ourselves up in our own mind, constantly beating ourselves up. That whole feeling of inferiority just beats you day and night. I just fall short. I just don't feel like I'm worth it. I don't value myself. And I'm asking you to value yourself. There is value in every man that's seated before me right now. You have value. God has invested in you. He has put on the inside of you gifts and anointings that are about, some of you don't even know the anointings that God has put on the inside of you. And I tell you, it's time for you to discover what God has put on the inside of you. It's really hard to do that if you're comparing yourself amongst yourself and you're competing inwardly against somebody else when you have been valued so much by God. There's an anointing in you. There's a gifting in you. There's something for you to do that's going to be so outstanding. And yet the devil has convinced you in inferiority to daily devalue yourself. And that's got to be over with. We got to stop beating ourselves up in our mind. We got to stop doing that. If you don't like certain things about your life, then do something about it. Do something to change it. Quit yielding to that sense of powerlessness and recognize that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and make your mind up to do some amazing things in your life. I'm right now tapping into more things that, you know, I kind of realized that it was there, but I'm finally overcoming the fear of it and doing some pretty awesome things right now. I'm just like, this is, I didn't know I could do this. And I'm thinking like, wow, I'm like, wonder what else is in there. And I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna go do that. And at this particular time, I decided if the devil's trying to pour it on, in demonic influence and all these people killing themselves, then I'm going to reach deep on the inside of me and like, what else do I have in me that I have yet to tap into? I thank God for the gift of being able to minister to you and preach the gospel, but I looked on the inside and I'm like, wow, I got some, oh, that's in there. Let's go ahead and pull that out and see how we can hurt it. Oh, that's in there too. Let me go ahead and pull that out. And they serve as excellent distractions to other people's drama. And so I'm discovering that I am more than what I knew. Are you willing to take the journey of discovery to check out some anointings that you may not have been aware of that you are carrying right now, but for some reason, maybe inferiority, maybe that fear that came out of it, for some reason you won't tap in that. You got some stuff on the inside of you that's being distracted by the thing that you think that you can only do. There's some other stuff. Investigate those other areas and watch God. And basically what I said was, it's real simple. God, if you don't want me to do that at this time, then, you know, make sure no door's open. If you do, then give me a confirmation of that. Somebody says you're kind of fleecing God. Yeah, we'll straighten out when I get to heaven. But I'm like, hey, I need to know what you want me. And then things start happening. I'm like, whoa, look at this. Check this out. Oh, wow. Don't be afraid to go on the journey of discovery. You're more than you think you are. Don't be afraid of that. Go ahead and branch out a little bit. Discover some things that's been in you. See, I look back now as I'm doing these things, and I realize, wow, you were trying to show me this 10, 20, 30 years ago. But I rejected it because, you know, I couldn't find any scripture for it. Like, God, no, you don't need no scripture for everything. I mean, you know, is there a scripture for you to go to the bathroom when you got to do number two? There ain't no scripture for that. All right, maybe I should have said it a different way. And so what happens when we treat ourselves badly? What will happen? We'll beat ourselves up in our own mind, and then we'll meet another person. We usually fall into one or two categories. I am not worthy. As we put our partner on the pedestal, I'm not worthy. Or there must be something wrong with me. Neither one of them are true. All of that comes from inferiority. That inner lack of respect that made you disrespect other people on the inside. Where did it come from? Back up and trace. Where did that feeling of disrespect come from? The pain of disrespect. And now you live a life disrespecting others. And after you disrespect and you ask yourself, you're like, I don't even know why I'm doing that. I don't even know why I was so disrespectful. I just felt like it. God just came up to me and said, hey, and he said, hey, yourself. And I'm thinking, well, where'd that come from? There are people like that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
They're just mean.
Yeah.
They're mean to themselves. They're only doing to you what they already do to themselves every day. And once you realize that, you can become a tool that can minister to them. Now, let's talk about the fear of disrespect. This is kind of interesting. I realized one day that even when there is the smallest potential to be disrespected, there's a panic that comes in that says, I think you're going to disrespect me, and all of a sudden I get up on the inside and I'm thinking, you ain't disrespecting me today. I'm not gonna let you disrespect me. And you'll end up doing something out of the fear of disrespect that may not even occur. Somebody looking at you and you already ready to respond to protect yourself, to go into this self-preservation mode. I got to preserve myself. I got to take care of myself. Saying I don't trust God to do that, so you're not gonna disrespect me. And basically what you're saying is I'm tired of being disrespected. I already disrespect myself, and doggone it, you are not going to disrespect me. I will hurt you, shoot you, do whatever I need to do to stop you. You're panicking. That hadn't even taken place yet. You're in a place where you fear being disrespected so much, you start preparing yourself to in a defense of being disrespected. I'm not going to let you do that. And so the fear of disrespect will move you into self-preservation, which is based in fear. It's based in self-effort. You're saying, since I don't trust God to take care of me, since I don't trust God to preserve me, then I'm going to go ahead and do it myself. So afraid of being devalued that you're poised to protect and preserve what value you think you have from being taken from you by another person. And that's something that's serious. I already just got a little value. Ain't no way I'm gonna let you have this little. You got to stop that. Remember, your fight for respect will only produce more fear. And in order to keep my self-respect, I need to disrespect somebody else? What? In order to keep my self-respect, I got to disrespect you? What? That's so twisted. It is as twisted as that young lady this past week who said living is overrated. Demonic influence is where the devil starts speaking to your head, making you think something that's not true about you. It's the attack of your identity that if you don't know it, he will be successful and try to convince you that you are something that you're not. For example, you're the righteousness of God, created in Christ Jesus. And as long as Jesus is righteous, you're righteous. But the devil says, you ain't righteous. He starts attacking your identity, and you got to know who you are. So when he shows up, you can say, bruh, I ain't listening to you. You a liar. I read in the Bible that you the father of lies. So everything you say is a lie. So if he comes and tells you something, the first thing you need to do is take the opposite of that and make that as true. Yes, I am the righteousness of God. People want to be respected, but that's not going to come from you until you make your mind up to respect yourself. So realize your value in Christ. I think that's going to be a key. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Realize your value in Christ. Let's look at this in the NLT. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. I am going to realize my value in Christ. And here's what I believe just really changed my life here. I accepted this. It's true for me. He said, even before he made the world, God loved us. He chose us in Christ to be what? Holy and without fault in his eyes. That blows my mind. Next verse. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. So the Greek word translated here, accepted. In King James, it's talking about accepted in the beloved. So this Greek word accepted in the beloved is the exact same word rendered highly favored. Accepted in the beloved, same Greek word, highly favored. And then in Luke chapter 1 and 28, look at that real quick. It's the word highly favored in both of these scriptures. He said, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. So being accepted in the beloved means you're highly favored of God. Say out loud, I'm highly favored of God.
I'm highly favored of God.
Say it again, I'm highly favored of God.
I'm highly favored of God.
Boy, that ought to be comforting. I'm highly favored of God. And that's what I say when things maybe don't work out exactly like I want them to work. I'm highly favored of God. I am highly favored of God. I have been accepted into his beloved. That's what I start preaching to myself. And you got to start preaching to yourself, gentlemen. You got to start talking to yourself.
What does it mean to be a man? The world has so many definitions, but God's is the one that counts. In his two-message series, Revival of Manhood, Creflo Dollar deals with the mentality necessary for men to experience life the way God intended. Get yours today for a love gift of $15 or more for CDs, or $25 or more for DVDs. Visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen.
Creflo Dollar Ministries' annual Revival of Manhood is back. Get ready for Mentality 2023, releasing the weight of manhood. We're set to cover issues that weigh on men from all walks of life. This September 8th and 9th will be 2 days of release, of breaking the bonds holding so many of us hostage. Text MENTALITY to 51555, scan the QR code on your screen, or visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and register now.
Have you ever wondered how the financial support from our viewers makes a difference in people's lives? We receive testimonies every day from people whose lives have been shattered by natural disasters, failed marriages, bankrupt businesses, and so on. They share how our outreach efforts and messages about God's grace have changed their lives in a tangible way. And for that, we give God all the glory. Today, I invite you to prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. We know you'll be empowered to see real change in others and prosper in your own life.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CrefloDollarMinistries.org. God bless you. Creflo and Taffy Dollar love connecting with you. And here at World Changers, we understand the importance of using technology to do just that. We're constantly working to bring the gospel of Christ to thousands of viewers and followers around the world. And we want you to get involved. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We want to make the word of grace available throughout every voice of social media.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.